Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Because they're amazing and they are so funny. Okay, first one, we'll do this one. Unless you want to read it in your own voice, I think it'd be really great. Okay.
Oh, Gavi Poo, it only gets worse from here for you, buddy. It's the end of the road for you, my love. Get on the nearest jet ski and let that beautiful hair blow in the wind. It'll make you happier than this race that you will not win. Enjoy life. Peace.
You look confused, John. You don't recognize this voice and those fingernails? That's Nicki Minaj. Yes. Oh. At Turning Point USA, talking with Erica Kirk. That's right. Gavi Poo. Gavi Poo. New conservative darling. Also, she quit Instagram.
What?
She was the most followed rapper on Instagram, male or female, is my understanding. Somewhere, I think the number I saw was like 150 million followers.
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of wave one of this story was that she lost 10 million followers after doing the Turning Point USA event. And then she shut off her Instagram account yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, it's not there. Now, if she may reactivate it, I don't know. But, you know... We'll get to that in a second. So this was at the event over the weekend. Obviously, you have Erica Kirk, who's hosting the event. And the big surprise they brought in at the end, she said that her husband, Charlie, always liked to have some kind of a surprise. The surprise was Nicki Minaj, this, you know, rap superstar, always in a feud with Cardi B. I'm just going to go ahead and say it super early, and I'll probably say it again. At gunpoint, if you force me to identify Cardi B separate from Nicki Minaj or vice versa, I'm just dying.
just like it's over.
I'm just going to get shot is how this is going to turn out. I try not to pretend to be things I'm not. I don't want to pretend to be an expert on everything related to current pop culture or anything on TikTok. But... I did rationally know that Cardi B and Nicki Minaj are two different people, but I couldn't have told you what was true of one and not true of the other. They are like the same person to me. All the stories are the same. The history is the same. They look very, very similar.
It depends on whether one's got black hair or yellow.
Well, yeah, but it depends on what day it is, whether that's true or not. Okay. And I checked myself because I thought, I can't be the only one that's this dumb. I mean, I can't be. So I asked my wife, and, you know, we're of the same vintage. You know, she's younger than I am. But I asked her, I said, so-and-so, and she's like, well, that's Nicki, right? I'm like, no, that's Cardi B. And she's like, well, that's Cardi B. I'm like, no, that's Nicki. That's the point. I'm sure for some of you, the differences are so vivid and obvious. I mean, you might as well be talking about Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. They're so different night and day. Or Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, if you will, like an even more distinction. But I'm just telling you that to a lot of us, the same person. not, however, the same person. That's important to note. Let's see. Cardi B was born in New York, and she was the one, she was the stripper for the while, and then she talks about, you know, taking guys' money when after she sleeps with them. Meanwhile, Nicki Minaj... was born in Trinidad and Tobago, and she is not an American citizen, and she has been a Christian most of her life, she says, sort of closer at a distance, and they feud with each other, and she was the one at Turning Point USA, not Cardi B. And if you're confused, that's fine. I mean, that's fine. I just, you know, I'm telling you they're not the same person, and you can take it on my word. Anyway, so reading the tweets that she wrote to Gavin Newsom, the governor of California.
Okay, okay. One more.
Why not? Imagine being the guy running on wanting to see trans kids. Haha, not even a trans adult would run on that. Normal adults wake up and think they want to see healthy, safe, happy kids. Not Gav, the Gav knocks. Gav not in, Gav out. Send in the next guy, I'm bored.
So let me make an observation before we get too much farther into all this. Some people have treated this like it's the greatest thing ever, that she's this fantastic and wonderful spokeshuman for the conservative cause or whatever. Note, I couldn't have told you the difference between the two women until yesterday. And even now, in a pinch, I probably failed this test. I wouldn't have looked to either one of them as particularly the superstar of anything that would be important to me. So I'm never so eager to jump on the bandwagon of somebody as our great hero. So always be cautious, because people who are who they are. And I don't think she's the great hero of the conservative cause, even if she's saying some things that might get a crowd reaction out of the conservative movement. You always be careful, you know, to how well and quickly you jump in with somebody as your hero.
So I'm just going to let you riff. Like, I want you to say whatever you want to say to Mr. Newsom.
Dear Newsom.
That's Trump's phrase, right?
We don't have a problem cleaning up the scum if we have to. Please tread lightly. That's what I would say to Gavvy Poo.
So she was asked about Trump.
Well, I have the utmost respect and admiration for our president. He has, I don't know if he even knows this, but he's given so many people hope that there's a chance to beat the bad guys and to win and to do it with your head held high and your integrity intact.
You know, what she was getting at, I thought it was actually a really interesting point, because I think what she was primarily focusing on was not that he, you know, goes out and cleans up the world or something like that, but that when everything was against him and when all he was doing was getting attacked and, you know, impeached multiple times and inquisited multiple times and have this, you know, ridiculous lawsuit that was against him that he lost that then leads to all these, you know, charges and convictions and all of that stuff. And after having lost the election, the second time, and coming back and winning again. Like, that's the kind of the context she's getting at, I think, in this.
What it's shown me personally is sometimes, you know, even in the worst feeling times in your life, you think that you're never going to come back from it. But you do. And our president shows that. He's been through every single thing a person could be through publicly. Having to constantly be lied on. It's not really that funny. Until you are in that person's shoes that's being lied on, you'll never understand what it feels like. That person is a human being. They have a family who has to read those lies. And that's not, and it's just not fair.
I agreed. I actually think one of the things that, you know, I don't know, I probably don't give him enough credit for, is the never quit. And going through everything he went through and coming back and basically winning or overcoming it with winning the election and running again and, I mean, being shot, you know, and not quitting and coming back triumphantly. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And the kind of thing that definitely gives people hope and shows people that, you know, just never give up. Never give up. Keep on going. Keep on going. Also, Vance and Trump together.
Well, I love both of them. But they're both powerful men. Smart, strong, all of that. But both of them have a very uncanny ability to be someone that you relate to. I can relate to them. When I hear them speak, I know that they're one of us. Like, I know that they're not... Don't you guys agree? They haven't lost touch of the world. You know, they're still connected to the world and what's happening in the world.
And by the way, almost to a person, when I talk to people who are huge Trump fans, it's some version of that that they say. It's some variation on, he talks like the guys in the shop. He talks like the people at my work. He talks like my buddies. He talks about the world the way we talk about the world. Like, he speaks in such a way that people feel like they're hearing their own viewpoint or perspective expressed. Now, that's not true for me when I listen to Trump. But that is almost to a person. The people who love Trump, that's what I hear from them. And take that seriously. That's a powerful thing, to feel like your views, your world, your ideas, your way of speaking is being expressed, because that's certainly not the way politicians normally express themselves. It's been made point of many times that, you know, Trump doesn't talk like a politician or like a normal politician. And hey, that's true. They also talked about free speech. There was actually a lot in this conversation. I'm not going to make Nicki Minaj some conservative hero, some great representative of the ideological viewpoints that I adhere to. She is who she was to me. But it was a major event, and a lot of people noticed, that has cost her a lot, I think, for showing up there. And so, you know, be aware. This is kind of what's happening in our culture right now.
Why do you think speaking your mind has become so controversial?
Because people no longer are using their minds, their brains. So right now, just imagine, we're not allowed to have a different opinion anymore. We're not allowed to think out loud anymore. We're not, this is not what the world used to feel like.
Oh, man. Her way of saying it is a little different than how I would say it, but absolutely. That is the reaction that you get from people who think about when we grew up, how discourse and disagreement and viewpoint variety seems to have been treated, and the way it feels like it gets treated today with all of the cancel culture or the wokeism or the speech codes or what I'd call political correctness version 2 or version 3. This is not new. It's happened before. Just, you know, they keep trying. But that feeling that if you say just the wrong thing or use somebody's wrong pronouns or, you know, whatever, you're going to get canceled on Twitter or X or Instagram or lose 10 million followers and have to shut down your Instagram account. They kind of proved her right, right? That the feeling that you shouldn't speak, can't speak, will get punished for your speech is prevalent among people. The feeling that they have to hide their conservatism or their Christianity or whatever. And by the way, I mean, there are cases where it's the opposite as well. I mean, I think conservatives do enough canceling too, which is also problematic. But that feeling that there's something in the world that's not right, that is stifling you, that if you disagree with the view that's being expressed on TV through all the shows or anywhere, that you're going to get punished for expressing that. That is very common for folks.
Especially for the young people. I don't want them growing up in a world where they feel like that. They deserve for their voices to be heard. They have valid feelings and they're thinking about things, and it deserves attention. You know, we should listen to what they're saying. And if you're growing up in a world that tells you it's taboo to say something that the masses don't agree with, that's not okay. And we're not going to have it.
Totally agree. you know, stand up for what you believe, even if it's unpopular. And we're seeing on college campuses that there's pushback for that. Certainly here in Florida, there's been a lot of effort to correct the heavy bias in favor of what today you might call progressivism or wokeism, what we used to just call liberalism or leftism. They're not quite the same thing, but, you know, close enough. Yeah, she's right about that. And there is a feeling like we're not going to take that anymore. When oppression goes one way, the other side fights back. And hopefully at the end of that, everybody gets more freedom. Now, the worry is that when one side fights back, they just do to the other side the censoring that was done to them. And we've seen that to some degree from the president. So be cautious. But still, generally, yeah, right. And there's more to this. Actually, I thought the stuff where she was talking about little black girls and little white girls and boys and some of her religious stuff was actually really interesting. But that's in kind of the second half of this. We'll get to that later on in the 7 o'clock hour. 525 on News Radio 92.3. If you heard it, tell me what you think. 437-1620. It's cold, right at freezing. Right at freezing in this area. 32, 33, something like that. So, wear a jacket. Actually, yesterday, it was funny. I was leaving the studio, and when I had come into work, I was wearing shorts and a sweater, because that's what it was, like 65. And I thought, okay, perfect. And then people were coming into work wearing these jackets and jeans and pants, and I'm like, what are y'all doing? It's not that cold. And, you know, I kind of made fun of my boss, Mary. I said, Mary, why are you wearing, like, a ski vest? She's like, why don't you go outside and see?
Yeah, and you got a big shock when you walked
so
outside.
So I went outside,
huh?
And I'm like, I repent. I actually had a doctor's appointment yesterday at 10, and I had planned ahead. I had thrown a pair of jeans in the car just in case, you know, as like in case my plan was wrong. Oh, my plan was wrong. I definitely changed. So,
in the car?
Yeah, why not?
Well, you don't have tinted windows.
And?
Boy. Okay. Never mind.
I mean,
statute of limitations were
it's out. Not like I'm not getting naked in the car. I mean, you know.
Right here at the station?
Yeah, okay. Whatever.
Whenever.
Just, you know. You never change clothes in the car?
No.
This should be a frivolous topic. We should talk about this. All right. Maybe some other time. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Hi, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. During this beautiful time of year, let us not forget to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful gift we have all been given. From our family to yours, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a happy and blessed New Year.
10 athletes will face the toughest job interview in fitness that will push past physical and mental breaking points.
You are the fittest of the fit. Only one of you will leave here with an iFit contract for $250,000.
This is when mindset comes in.
Someone will be eliminated.
Pressure is coming down.
Trainer Games on Prime Video, January 8th. Watch the trailer on trainergames.com.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News, 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
We got the law here, Billy Jack. When policemen break the law, then there isn't any law. Just a fight for survival.
Look, I got to get back to school. Want to practice park?
That's so weird. All of my, I know why. I was playing the playlist. So the clips would play, but the songs wouldn't play.
Right.
Because yesterday I moved all the songs from the folder they were in to a different folder, but I hadn't changed the load in the audio player. So, you know, just a little behind the scenes non-magic.
Probably
sorry about that.
Changing outside or something. Nothing in your car.
Steve is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Steve?
Well, President Trump says Hamas faces serious trouble if it does not disarm. Speaking alongside Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu after their meeting in Florida, Trump says he'll be held to play if Hamas does not stick to the promise to disarm as part of the Israeli-Hamas peace plan. U.S. military says another alleged drug smuggling boat in the Eastern Pacific has been hit, killing two narco-terrorists. The U.S. Southern Command says that forces blew up the boat in international waters and no U.S. service members were injured. And a remorseful thief who stole two mandolins from a North Jersey music store last night returned them with, basically, he apologized. He basically slipped in the two purloined instruments, snuck them in with a handwritten note that says, "Sorry, I was drunk. Merry Christmas." And that's his repentance. And that's what's happening.
I love that you did it in the voice and added added, you know, an H here and there, you know, to make it. Also, what was the word? You used a great word. What was your word you used?
What? Hamas?
No. Resplendent or something like that, perhaps?
Basically, I'm looking for the word purloined.
That's purloined.
Purloined, yes.
Great use of purloined, sir.
Big word.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. U.S. Southern Command struck another alleged drug boat in the Eastern Pacific, marking at least the 30th strike since September 2nd. U.S. officials say two men were killed.
The U.S. has conducted most of its operation in international waters, from targeting boats that they say are carrying drugs to seizing oil tankers.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Meanwhile, President Trump saying the U.S. hit a dock facility in Venezuela.
But there was a major explosion in the dock area where they load the boats up with drugs. They load the boats up with drugs, so we hit all the boats, and now we hit the area. It's the implementation area. That's where they implement.
No one was on the dock at the time. Nobody was killed, but the strike is the first known American operation inside Venezuela. And today, the search will resume for Malaysia Airlines flight MH370. It vanished more than a decade ago. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 right now, 33 degrees and downright chilly. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. The Florida Department of Transportation is considering safety enhancements for North Blue Angel Parkway following a deadly crash on Monday morning. A pickup truck then failed to navigate a curve near Millville Road and caught fire. It's the fourth crash this year at that intersection. Ian Satter with FDOT says a current study will examine the roadway for potential improvements, including additional lighting, turn lanes, and signal modifications.
Something could come from the study, for example, because the project is not funded for design or construction at this point. But there could be some operational improvements in the near future that could be done through the study if they're warranted in the area.
Rick Baxter, a nearby property owner, says the area has been seeing numerous fatal crashes over the years.
We haven't counted them. We're going to guess 20 deaths has happened right here from this one little one-mile area right here. There has to be 20 deaths.
Commissioner Steve Trowbridge says the county will evaluate any safety improvements that may be needed on Blue Angel Parkway.
Safety is at the center of everything we do at Escambia County. And anytime there's a serious accident on an evacuation route or any road in Escambia County, it warrants a closer look.
Escambia County commissioners say they'll work with FDOT to evaluate what safety measures may be needed. Authorities remind drivers that safety ultimately depends on how people drive. A 24-year-old woman's facing drug charges after Escambia County deputies recovered 20 grams of cocaine during a traffic stop on Monday afternoon. That's according to the sheriff's office. Bailey Hart is charged with possession of cocaine and possession of drug paraphernalia. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office says deputies conducted a traffic stop for a vehicle being driven erratically on Nine Mile Road. During that traffic stop, they located 20 grams of cocaine inside the vehicle. No further details have been released. Well, now that Christmas has come and gone, Chris Bryant says safe disposal of holiday waste is critical.
After the holidays, be careful with waste disposal. Only some wrapping paper is recyclable. Multi-laminate and styrofoam products are not. Santa Rosa County residents can now drop off bare Christmas trees, meaning no tinsel, no lights, no ornaments, at the J Transfer Station, the Central Landfill, Pace Fire Rescue District, the Navarre Beach Boat Ramp, or Tiger Point Rec Area until January 17th. ECUA will pick up the real Christmas trees for free with the regular collection of yard waste. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
And now let's get a check on our forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have partly cloudy skies today with a high near 49 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 32. For Wednesday, 55 degrees with mostly sunny skies. And heading into your New Year's evening, temperatures dropping into the 40s. As you head into the new year on Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 61. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Staying connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team, download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, chilly 33 in Pensacola, 34 in Gulf Breeze, and 33 in Milton at 535. Next news at 6. Breaking news, of course, happens anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Meta Platforms said it has acquired Manus, a Singapore-based developer of general-purpose AI agents. Meta said the acquisition was aimed at boosting automation across consumer and business products. Manus will continue operating its subscription service after the acquisition, with no deal terms being disclosed. China has made the development of humanoid robots a strategic priority in its tech battle with the U.S. Analysts see China taking an early lead in the technology, with domestic firms ramping up production. But Chinese authorities have also warned of a bubble in the humanoid robot industry. Reuters reports that the U.S. government has granted an annual license to Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix to bring in chip manufacturing equipment to their facilities in China for 2026. The approval follows a U.S. decision earlier this year to revoke license waivers given to some tech companies. Futures are currently mixed. That's your money now.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PenAir Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at PenAir.org/auto-refi. That's PenAir.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan applications submitted between October 1st and December 31st, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PENAIR for complete details.
The Florida Bright Futures Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. The best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery, so when people play, students win. Visit floridabrightfutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And a radio.
Yeah, I've only heard this this song, what, maybe 100 times now. And a pair of jeans that fit just right. I don't think I've ever had a pair of jeans that fit just right in the way he means. I like them loose. I mean, I want them comfortable, but fit just right to show me off has never been my goal, whatever that has to do with anything. Joining us now by phone, much, I'm sure, to his chagrin, Jimmy Petronas, our congressman for Florida's 1st District. Congressman, welcome back, sir. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
You should get some of those elastic jeans. Do you get any of those for Christmas?
Oh, God, no.
Those jeans that,
no.
You know, they fit no matter what. They just stretch into place.
There's nobody asking for Andrew in elastic jeans. No, nobody wants that. Not anybody. Hey, so I just kind of an odd question, but like, okay, it's Christmas and New Year's. You're obviously doing this show with me, which means you're working. But you know, there's no votes for another week. You're not back in Congress for another week officially. What do you do during the holidays?
So, well, our congressional offices are open. We're still solving constituent problems. Problems don't stop. People's needs don't stop. And government needs to be responsive. So, you know, try to juggle what we need to do for our families, you know, to make sure they have a good Christmas. At the same time, just keep on answering the phones, responding to the emails, and making the meetings. You know, votes will be next week.
So, yeah, no, it just makes sense. I mean, as you said, constituent needs don't stop. In fact, you know, the police will tell you that there's always constituent needs, right? That's always something you got to deal with. So, interesting. I've never worked in Congress. I've always been kind of curious, you know, in the off time, so to speak. You are also working a little bit on social media stuff, right? That's still something that you're kind of thinking about, which I know we all are. We're all thinking about not just AI, but social media, the effect that it has on our kids, which is all, as far as I can tell, almost universally negative. But what are you working on?
Look, I don't think I want an Australian state, you know, here in the United States. I think social media definitely has a role. It has become the go-to for people at so many different levels for their knowledge. I mean, how do you find out about an obituary now anymore? You go to social media, you don't see it because nobody prints a newspaper anymore. So, I mean, it's kind of important. But what's happened with our kids? These devices and social media has become so sticky that, you know, you can't divorce your child from this stuff. It's like a digital fentanyl. And I've used that term with you before, but the social media companies, they're not being good partners. You know, I roll my eyes when I see, you know, Instagram run TV ads, say, tell Congress to pass the SAFE Act or whatever they call that stupid legislation to protect those under age 13. Well, Instagram, Meta, you can do that right now without a law.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, so I think they give themselves this air cover as they're just printing money, you know, keeping our kids addicted to devices. I want some parent empowerment. You know what? I mean, and really, it maybe should be maybe just focused on just Google and Apple because they're down 1,000% of the market share. You know, just guys, give mom and dad the ability to just have an off switch. You know what? Don't make me have to go take a computer course to learn how to use the parental settings in a way to make it easy to keep my kid off of TikTok or Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or Snapchat. I mean, it's a hot button subject for me because I'm a parent.
Yeah.
And I think there's other parents that probably feel the same way. I just like to have it easy. These are the apps, click, 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 that I don't want on my child's phone, and done. But you know what? It's very lucrative for those companies to have a presence in our kids' hands. It drives the G.I. Joe toys of our childhood.
You know, I think I'm very much with you in the reluctance to have government solve this problem. I hate the idea of government stepping in and controlling what is essentially a speech mechanism. I hate the idea of trusting the government as the solver of last resort, which is always what it should only be. And yet, I'm with you. I see what the effect that it has on kids. I see their inability to stop. I see, and not just the bullying, not just the porn and the, you know, bad stuff that's on there, but the thing itself, you know, the technology in addition to the content. And I'm sold. I think that it's going to be 5 or 10 or 20 years from now, and people are going to look back at us letting our kids use smartphones the way we look back at people giving their kids laudanum and cocaine and, you know, think, what in the world were you thinking? If Jimmy Patronis proposes a law that says, you know, no smartphones for anybody under the age of 18, I'll support you. And if you say, you know, no social media for people under the age of 18, I'll support you. Because I think it's that bad. It's that harmful and contagious and addictive and problematic. I mean, that's where I'm at.
Well, you nailed it when you spoke to it in the same context as illicit drugs. It does have a effect on the developing minds. Now, look, I've been a curious parent. You know, my son has put his phone down. I've gone and I've flipped through his history. And look, he's looking at innocent stuff. They're obsessed with sports. Mm-hmm. You know, so I look at some of the stuff that he's looked at. But the problem is he won't put the dang thing down. And, you know, and there's good days and bad days. And I like the good days where, you know, we go out and we leave our phones in the car. And, you know, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I just look at when I was a child and this was never a problem. But, you know, but it's different days right now. I mean, at our age, it was more dealing with the TV. Now the TV is wherever we go.
Yeah, and I mean, same set of concerns raised about the television, and I think we turned out sort of okay. I'm not sure great, but we turned out okay. But you're seeing it so much earlier, so much more dangerously applied when it comes to social media. And I don't know how to tone it down. So my reaction is to just turn it off, you know. And is there any way to make it safe? And if there's no way to make it safe, then maybe what you need to do is just make it not happen. And I'm willing to be the bad guy. I don't know that the parents are going to be willing to be the bad guys enough, you know, frankly. And I hate to have to say it that way too, but it's like when, you know, kids are not allowed to have their smartphones at school, largely because the school has to step in and say, well, we'll be the government because you won't be. I hate that reaction, but I understand where it's coming from too. So is this a bill you're working on, or are you just kind of thinking about these things? And, you know, I'm sure you have an office full of people who are young adults and don't have kids, and young adults who do have kids, and all the mixture of perspectives that they have on social media.
That's exactly right. So, I mean, the guys know this is something I want to do. You're picking a fight with an 800-pound gorilla, 1,000-pound gorilla. I mean, this is a big deal, but, you know, I think our kids are worth it. The good thing about it, a lot of times when you go and you propose legislation like this, of course, you get the social media companies' attention. A lot of times they'll react and roll out solutions without you even passing a law. And, you know, and this is fine by me. Just be somewhat proactive. Look, we're done with Christmas. You're not driving the Christmas holiday, you know, purchases anymore. Let's sit down. There's a lot of new devices that we're giving out for Christmas. Let's try to, you know, help people, you know, manage their addiction. So
are we going to get anything on health? And like, what's going to happen on health insurance this month? I mean, cause you and I've talked about this a bunch, and I don't frankly know what's going to happen, other than for most everybody, it's going to be pretty rough. But what do you think is actually going to happen, especially when the deadline comes due in a couple of weeks?
So we've been trying to pass the standalone appropriations bills. There's 12 of them. And so you've heard of omnibus. Well, back in this past fall, we passed a minibus, which was, you know, three appropriations bills all tied together. Where we did the defense issues and all that stuff. So the Senate is continuing to push a package of appropriations bills of those 12 back to the House. As we are able to get more of those appropriations bills off the table, as we are able to do our job and fund the government, then it allows us to be able to sit down and still work on the healthcare issues. Now, the subsidy, I'm a big proponent. I did some TV yesterday, and I love the Rick Scott plan, where Rick Scott wants to say, you know, don't give the subsidies directly to the insurance companies. Is what's happened with Obamacare. Obamacare is a massive failure. But let's go and give those dollars that were subsidies back to the policyholders in the form of a health savings account, and let them go and have the purchasing power in their own hands. Now, what will happen is the carriers in the private sector will get aggressive. They'll start competing against each other as they try to fight for those policyholders to make their health care home with whichever company is able to win them over. But if you give people a budget, then they'll have to shop for that budget. And then, you know, those companies will get, you know, a sharper pencil. So I think this is still where I'd like to go. The problem we've got is you've got blue state Republicans that are worried about the reelection, and they really just want to kick the can down the road and like to have another 2 years of just blanket subsidies to the carriers and just take the easy way out. And I'm of the mindset I want our dollars to be used in the most effective way possible. They're precious.
No, I agreed. And I get the politics of it are very thorny, especially for, as you say, the blue state Republicans. But man, it just, you know, we can't go on like we are, and we can't seem to be willing to make a change. And so I don't know what the solution is in between there. But
well, and those blue state Republicans, they've already expanded Medicaid in those states.
Right.
I mean, I'm not trying to get into the weeds on healthcare policy, but Florida, we did not. Florida, we have been, you know, trying to just aggressively live within our means, not be foreverly attached to some government subsidy. And you know what? Things are actually pretty good in Florida, you know? So, I mean, but those other states, they've created these monsters in the expansion of Medicaid, their problems with the healthcare system. is something that they're not easy tasks, but they've got to be dealt with.
Which was part of the warning that Republicans in Florida and elsewhere made about taking the expanded Medicaid, is that it would eventually cost us more and we'd become a slave to the thing that we're looking to get a benefit from. Hey,
1,000%.
Switching gears a little bit to some military things. Pentagon fails its eighth audit. You were the CFO of the state of Florida. Do you think there's any realistic world in which we get a clean audit by 2028? I think the NDAA actually requires that. And the president's saying it's going to happen. But, I mean, it's every time they look under the hood, it's just like, I mean,
it's ugly.
It's a complete mess. What do you think?
You know, I think it just depends on how much the president pushes and forces. We're going to be advocating for it. I would love to see it happen. And even if you chip away at it through you know, some type of a systematic way, but getting up under the hood and seeing how those dollars are being spent, you know, I'm scratching my head. I look at what happened with Homeland Security, and there was right after the government got reopened, Kristi Noem started giving out $10,000 checks to TSA workers. And I'm thinking, well, I didn't appropriate $10,000 checks. So I did some digging. Turns out if an agency head has the ability to save money through, better contract management, then that agency gets to spend. Well, she's got billions of dollars that she has been able to effectively save by revisiting these contracts. I mean, good for the taxpayers. But, you know, I feel like, you know, I want to get more of that out in the open to find out what type of savings is still sitting in these different various federal agencies. I mean, it's almost like a discretionary fund by these agency heads. But, I mean, can we not carve that back and do debt service with it?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean,
That's how I look at, like, the subsidy, the tariff, you know, subsidy. I'm like, just pay down the debt or at least pay off the deficit. You know, something. Get me less of the horrible mess that keeps growing. I'm with you. And that makes sense. If it's so easy to find the slush at DHS, well, let's find the slush everywhere, you know, and then let's use that more productively instead of just giving it away as you know, payouts or something like that.
Can you imagine what you could find at the Pentagon?
Oh, my God. It's you know? Horrifying to imagine. Which, I spent a lot of time this morning talking about the battleship thing. I mean, Jimmy, he's not really going to try to build a battleship with lasers and rail guns and hypersonics, right? I mean, what is this?
I think some of it is real. Okay. I do know that the president is truly committed to bring back U.S. shipbuilding and whatever it takes to be, more so in the driver's seat and less dependent on international partners and sometimes its enemies or adversaries that are advanced in the shipbuilding business. We've got to do something. So, I mean, this is where the president is starting to, you know, engage and float ideas to try to see if we can build. I mean, there's everybody's a buzz about shipbuilding, including, you know, establishing shipbuilding right in Pensacola.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a real issue. It's also a real vulnerability we have as a nation.
Oh, no, totally agree. And by the way, I completely agree with that, investing in shipbuilding. But based on the last three major systems that the Navy has completely, you know, they Charlie Brown the football on all three of them, the Zumwalt, the Constellation, yeah. And the LCSs. I'm of the mind that, you know, what we don't need is brand new big platforms. What we need is more diversity in our creation of existing, you know, good ones that work like the Arleigh Burke class, for example.
And the LCS was, you know, I toured the last commissioned one, and you know, it really had some pretty innovative bells and whistles to it. But, you know, I think the biggest criticism, you know, it's an aluminum ship. And the Navy just—I don't think they yeehaw with aluminum ships. You know, had a lot of neat technology integrated into it. Sound like a very versatile ship, but you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No. Very. And by the way, heard you as the first time you got to do speaker pro tem. So that was kind of fun to listen to you. That was that exciting.
Yeah. I've done it a few times, but it was funny. Where they were in a panic is it was debating the healthcare bill. So, you know, they were scrambling. They needed to get somebody there to run the chamber. And so I'm running the chamber when Hakeem Jeffries is up there running his mouth.
I saw that one. That made me laugh.
Yeah. So, but it's, look, the debate is very structured. And really it's very structured in Florida, too.
Of course.
But in Florida, it's a hell of a lot more combative.
Oh yeah, it's and for in a lot of ways it's more interesting. Jimmy, we're completely out of time. Thank you for time in the gap between Christmas and New Year's. I appreciate it. We'll speak to you next week when it'll be the new year. Again, good to talk to you. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next year. See you.
Next year. Thank you.
Next
very much.
Year. Well done.
Talking about ships there, the Arleigh Burke class, we just commissioned another one. Is it yesterday, I believe? The USS Ted Stevens just got commissioned. That makes 74 or 75 in service. 99 are planned. I was wrong about the total number. But still, I mean, a very capable ship. Let's just build those. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Before you hire any personal injury or insurance attorney based on an advertisement, ask some questions. Will you be the attorney personally handling my case? Do you have the resources and experience to take my case to trial if necessary? At Taylor Warren Widener Hancock & Barnes in Pensacola, Florida, we want you to know whether you're considering us or anyone else, you need to cut through endless attorney ads with critical questions. Our website is free and does not even require any contact information to learn the questions you should ask any attorney before you hire. TWWLawFirm.com.
Contact Taylor, Warren, Widener, Hancock, and Barnes today at 850-438-4899, 850-438-4899, or check them out online at TWWLawFirm.com. That's TWWLawFirm.com for Taylor, Warren, Widener, Hancock, and Barnes, attorney counselors at law.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians. They hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm not sure that I agree with you 100% on your police work there, Lou.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Little Stooges for you there at 5:57 on News Radio 92.3. It's cold, man. Really cold. Cold for Pensacola. I suppose the rest of the world thinks this is normal, but that's their problem. We got David Wayne is out this week, and we got Steve. God bless. I can't think. Steve is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. Steve?
Well, President Trump says the U.S. has targeted a dock in Venezuela connected to drug trafficking. The administration has ramped up pressure on Venezuela in recent months with dozens of strikes on alleged drug boats in sea around Venezuela.
Maybe we weren't 100% sure it was in Venezuela. He was kind of cagey about the location.
Of that dock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that, but it seems like...
It seems likely. I don't disagree. I thought there was maybe some uncertainty, but I could be wrong. Anyway.
Well, speaking of places that need maybe some more security, New Orleans officials are beefing up security at the anniversary of the New Year's Day terror attack. As the anniversary of that attack approaches, See, I remember last year, a man drove a pickup truck toward the crowds on Bourbon Street, killing 14 people, injuring dozens more. Well, the New Orleans Homeland Security Director says there'll be nearly 800 law enforcement officers downtown and in the French Quarter this week to prevent something like that happening again. And speaking of New Year's, New York City is going to be waiting for a second ball to drop in the Times Square celebration. It has the traditional ball drop at midnight, but this year, 4 minutes later, another one's going to drop. This second drop will see the ball decorated in red, white, and blue to mark 2026 as the 250th birthday of the United States. And do you guys remember the bicentennial?
Yeah, barely.
Yeah.
Yeah, barely. Oh, okay. I mean, I...
Okay, you know. I'm old.
I was five.
I would think I was drinking that day. Yeah.
You are drinking milk out of a bottle. That's what's happening.
And just for the record, I want to note that I made no jokes about you talking about the sequential ball drops.
No.
I made no jokes.
No jokes whatsoever.
That's just a healthy boy is all that is.